Imagine for a second that people from ages past could send us a message through time. On the 6th of January 2015, curators at Boston's Museum of Fine Arts proceed to open a mysterious metal box before an audience of dignitaries. It was found by chance a few months earlier by a worker repairing a pipe, having been hidden in the cornerstone of the Massachusetts State House. The box, that is, not the worker. One by one, perfectly conserved objects are revealed to the audience between camera flashes. Newspapers, coins, a medal depicting George Washington, and a splendid silver plaque with an engraving explaining its origins, the crown jewel of the discovery. The time capsule was sealed 2 centuries earlier, on the 4th of July, 1795, by the Boston Freemasons to commemorate the independence of the United States. The Grand Master of the Masonic Lodge, Paul Revere, a skilled silversmith, made the plaque and arranged the ceremony, governed by Founding Father Samuel Adams. All Americans know the name Paul Revere. Generations of schoolchildren have learned Henry Longfellow's poem by heart, telling of the heroic horse ride of 1775, the midnight ride that enabled Samuel Adams to escape the British troops. The poem is quite far removed from reality. Longfellow embellished the facts to create a national myth. As a result, its hero, Paul Revere, is often reduced to a single horse ride. Yet, behind the legend lies one of the most important American revolutionaries. You're listening to Echoes of History, Behind the Legends, the podcast that tells you the true stories of some of history's most legendary heroes. As the Assassin's Creed franchise turns 15, travel back through 2,500 years of history to meet the men and women whose destiny led them to greatness. Uncover their stories and bring their legends back to life. Episode 7, Paul Revere. In a portrait dating from 1768, Paul Revere sits at his desk, holding a piece of silverware in his left hand and fixing the viewer with his honest gaze. It was painted by John Singleton Copley, a great painter of the time, famed for his portraits of aristocrats and the upper class. As he poses for the portrait, Paul Revere is just a young, unknown craftsman. A portrait of this kind is very expensive, which clearly shows his ambition. Revere is already convinced that he will leave his mark on history. And he certainly succeeds. Paul Revere's Midnight Ride in 1775 is one of the founding myths of the American nation, but the legend doesn't come to be until much later. In 1861, poet Henry Longfellow publishes Paul Revere's Ride, a poem that will ensure the memory of this feat will live on forever. With its jerky rhythm and enveloping rhymes, this text makes the reader feel part of a true epic. Revere's Ride takes place during a period of extreme tension between the insurgent American colonists and the British government. With provocations and clashes increasing, war is imminent. In April 1775, General Gage, who is in command of the British troops in Boston, decides to act. He wants to capture the rebel leaders who are hiding in Lexington, 20 kilometers to the north, and seize the cache of weapons and munitions in neighboring Concord. On the evening of the 18th of April, 1775, Dr. Joseph Warren, a revolutionary friend of Paul Revere, is informed that the British offensive is imminent. He instructs the silversmith to go immediately to Lexington to warn pro-independence leaders, Samuel Adams and John Hancock. To ensure they are successfully alerted, another courier, William Dawes, has already set off along a different route. Revere leaves at around 11 p.m. He is carrying a nation's fate on his shoulders. First, he has to cross the Charles River by rowboat, where he has his first brush with danger, slipping past Somerset, an imposing British warship. Then, a feverish wait begins when he arrives on the other bank in Charleston. He's waiting for a signal, like something out of one of the greatest Greek myths. As Longfellow's famous poem says, "One if by land, and two if by sea." Revere watches the steeple of the Old North Church, the oldest church in Boston. Suddenly, two lanterns are lit by an ally, signaling that the king's troops are going to march on Lexington via the water to the north, rather than take the land route to the south. Revere immediately mounts his horse and they gallop through the night. The poem establishes the image of a solitary horseman engaged in a race against time. And as you read it, you hear the clatter of hooves and imagine this elusive shadow with his cape and tricorn hat galloping through the Middlesex countryside. Revere alerts every farm and every village. Soldiers are already patrolling the hinterland. He has to be careful. So, he knocks on doors. Minutemen, men who can arm themselves at a moment's notice, respond to the call. In Paul Revere's wake, an entire nation unites against its oppressor. The mission is a complete success. Revere arrives in Lexington at around midnight, half an hour before William Dawes. He informs Samuel Adams and John Hancock of the situation. The two men seek shelter and spend the night coming up with a plan of action to counter the British troops' advance. At dawn the following day, 19th of April, the first shots of the American War of Independence are fired. Thanks to Paul Revere, Adams and Hancock will be, a few years later, among the founding fathers of the American nation. The legend of the Midnight Ride is now part of American folklore. In 1917, a film produced by Edison Studios depicts the ride. In 1972, Johnny Cash, another American legend, writes a song about Paul Revere. More recently, Bart imagines he's talking to a statue of Revere in Boston in an episode of The Simpsons. And in the game, Assassin's Creed 3, the hero, Connor Kenway, joins the Midnight Ride alongside Paul Revere. Sure, it's a myth, but a fictionalized myth like in Longfellow's poem. We now know that Revere wasn't the only rider that decisive night. We also know that he never reached Concord, where he was supposed to go after Lexington, and that the signal from the Old North Church wasn't for him. It was a backup plan to warn a courier in Charleston in case Revere and Dawes were captured en route. Myth or reality, Paul Revere wasn't just a man who rode a horse. That would be silly. The silversmith played a central role in the American independence movement. The legend of the Midnight Ride has long focused attention on his nocturnal exploit, leaving the rest of his story in the shadows. Born in 1735, young Paul is raised in the silver workshop of his father, a French Protestant who fled to Boston. In the North Writing School, where craftsmen's children are educated, and in the new brick of Cockerill Church, where he practices Calvinism. At the age of 19, his father dies, leaving him the head of the family, and he successfully takes over the family business. In 1756, Paul Revere enlists in the Massachusetts Militia, where he serves as a lieutenant in the infantry. Like all colonial soldiers, he's treated with contempt by the British officers who deem them incapable of defending themselves. We've always been a bit like that. Upon his return to Boston, he resumes his flourishing business. All the local upper class purchase their silverware from him. Sharp-minded, Revere interacts with all these Harvard-educated notables as an equal. In 1760, he joins the influential Masonic Lodge St. Andrews. Two of his fellow Freemasons will come to play a key role in his legend: John Hancock, a wealthy merchant, and Joseph Warren, a renowned surgeon. Both are committed to defending colonial interests. Interests that are quickly undermined when the British Empire, heavily in debt because of the Seven Years' War against France, decides its colonies will foot the bill. The 1764 Sugar Act and 1765 Stamp Act impose new taxes. Politician Samuel Adams then comes up with the mobilizing slogan, "No taxation without representation." He also creates a secret organization in Boston, the Sons of Liberty, which Revere immediately joins. Alongside this, Revere gets into engraving. I mean, we all get into engraving at some point, don't we? One of his creations is now an icon of American history: the bloody massacre perpetrated in King Street, Boston, on March 5th, 1770, by a party of the 29th Regiment, is an engraving with a very long title, which shows a line of British soldiers opening fire on Bostonians. It is pure propaganda. Entangled in an urban riot, the soldiers that day fired unwillingly. By this point, Revere is a radical patriot looking to end British tyranny. He distorts reality to get public opinion on his side. On the 16th December 1773, Revere finds himself one of the Sons of Liberty ringleaders of the famous Boston Tea Party revolt, a major chapter in the novel of the American nation. With the Tea Act, London decides to keep taxing tea in the colonies while exempting Britain. In response, around 50 men board the merchant ships in the port of Boston and dump 342 chests of tea into the harbour before a crowd of over 5,000 people. I still think that's a terrible waste. The reaction in London is immediate. The harbour is closed and martial law instated. 3,000 redcoats are deployed in the city. In response, Samuel Adams creates a network of couriers to take messages from town to town and make it easier for members of the Sons of Liberty to communicate. Revere jumps at the opportunity. A good rider, he'd always wanted a horse, an outward sign of success, if ever there were one. Revere carries out a number of missions, such as in December 1774, when he rides through a snowstorm to alert the patriots of New Hampshire on the imminent arrival of British regiments. I mean, it's all very impressive, but it's the horse I feel sorry for. Of his 18 documented rides, the Midnight Ride is undoubtedly the most crucial to the history of the United States. As the war kicks off, Revere stops doing these missions and joins the Massachusetts Militia. His service during the war isn't particularly notable, and his career as a politician is equally unremarkable. Despite his ambitions, he doesn't manage to obtain an important post in the new federal government after the war. So, he returns to his trade and starts making copper plates used for ships in the burgeoning US Navy. In his later years, he earns a fortune making bells. some of which can still be heard ringing in New England. Despite his involvement in the independence movement, Revere did not achieve fame during his lifetime. Ironically, he wasn't particularly revered. Upon his death in May 1818, the local press merely publishes a vague tribute celebrating an exemplary life without further details. And his tomb in a Boston cemetery is just one of many engraved stones. The poem that made him a legend was written much later, on the eve of another, much deadlier war. Torn apart by the Civil War, America needed Paul Revere again. A hero of the people, capable of bringing the whole nation together and single-handedly changing the course of history. Thanks for listening to Echoes of History, Behind the Legends, a Ubisoft podcast produced by Paradiso Media.